Hello, welcome to episode 2 of the Ethan Almighty Podcast. My name is Jeff, better known probably as Ethan's Papa. Thank you so much to everyone that listened to episode 1. I loved Emily's honesty and the interesting stories that she told from some of the cases that have come into the Kentucky Humane Society. Stay tuned. She and I are working on something that I really think you guys are really going to enjoy. It's going to be fun, hopefully funny, and we'll continue to highlight different aspects of animal life and animal welfare. But today we switch gears. I wanted this podcast to do several things, and one of those was to highlight animal welfare in Kentucky, specifically, more recently, HB 57, sometimes referred to as Ethan's Bill, although it was filed and had a good amount of support before Ethan arrived in our lives. And so on today's episode, I speak with Senator Karen Berg about the process that bills go through in the Kentucky General Assembly and the state of animal welfare in Kentucky. I think it can get a little confusing for people that aren't senators or representatives about how the process works. And so before we can understand how to get something passed and make some changes, I think it's important to understand how the process works. So I appreciate Senator Karen Berg taking her time, and I really appreciate you guys listening. So let's bring on Senator Karen Berg. Welcome to the Ethan Almighty Podcast. Today, I'm happy to be joined by Senator Karen Berg. Senator, how are you?
I'm good, sir. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Let's kind of start at the beginning. Just a small little background, if you don't mind. How long have you been a senator, and did you hold any political office before this current one?
I have been a state senator. I was elected in a general election last summer. So I've been a state senator for less than a year at this point. And before I was a state senator, no, I did not hold any, general politically elected offices.
Okay. So what kind of made you decide to run for office? Where did that spark come from?
Well, that's a long story, but, I'll start by just saying that as an undergraduate, I was a political science major. I was pre-law all the way. I planned to go to law school, work for legal aid, run for office, and my goal had been to be a judge. And then I got dissuaded. I went to medical school, practiced medicine for, I hate to say, going on 35 years now. I've absolutely loved practicing medicine. But about five years ago, I thought, good people who care about people who care about our democracy, just need to stand up and run for office and get elected. I just felt like we were going in the wrong direction nationally. And so that's what I did.
Wow, that's inspiring. We need more people to run for office that want to stand up for what others believe in. Speaking of which, as a matter of fact, just today I received in the mail, I believe you're the one that introduced Resolution 217 to the yes. Senate floor, honoring Ethan and the Kentucky Humane Society, Dr. Bewley, myself and my family. I just wanted to say thank you very much. That was overwhelming when my sister-in-law actually called me that night and said, hey, they're reading this resolution into Kentucky. You made Kentucky history. And that quite an honor. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm sure what you all did was the honor. I mean, honestly, part of it, I think, was the timing. But, as we're going through this pandemic, to see that there are people who care and people, the whole community came around behind what you all were doing to try to save this animal. And it was uplifting for all of us. So I want to say thank you to you and to what you do, because that's what made the difference.
Well, I really appreciate that. And in a world where It seems like people can find negative in every single story. This has been 99.9999% positive, and so it's been, you know, overwhelming. And so I thank you very much. That was quite an honor. It was something I didn't know was coming. Was very unexpected, but very much appreciate it. Thank you.
I was so happy to be able to do it.
And that was adopted. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I will tell you that another female senator from the other side of the aisle that I don't always agree with by any means stood up and supported this so strongly. So what that shows is that these are the type of issues that people, that good people care about.
Right.
Everybody. You know, it doesn't have to be a Democrat. It doesn't have to be a Republican. It's everybody.
Right. That's amazing. That's wonderful to get support from both sides like that. And that was adopted by a voice vote. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Which means that nobody has any reason to object to it.
Good. And why would they? It's Ethan. Why would you object to Ethan? Let's kind of move on to introducing bills. Just so I and some people that might be listening to this understand. To introduce a bill can be introduced into the House or the Senate, either one, correct?
Right. It starts in one or the other, and then they go back and forth.
Okay. But it has to be introduced by either a senator or a representative. I just couldn't write something and go up there to have it introduced.
You have to find somebody who is willing to sponsor the bill. That's what they call it, sponsoring the bill.
Okay. And so from there, at least as I was kind of following HB 57 along, from there it goes to something called Committee on Committees, who then kind of determine where it goes from there?
Yes. And what committee, you know, they decide on, you know, where the bill is most relevant,
mm-hmm.
because sometimes these bills overlap. So they can decide which committee they think is going to be most relevant for this bill to be heard in.
Okay.
Sometimes that could be a political size process. Sometimes, you know, you could send a bill to a committee, you know, nobody's going to do anything with it if you don't want it to go forward. But typically, you're supposed to send it to where you think they have the most relevance.
Right. So this Committee on Committees seems to have, just from a layperson's standpoint, seems to have a lot of power once bills are introduced.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm not sure how familiar you were with HB 57 since it was introduced into the House, and sometimes it was kind of started being referred to as...
They go back and forth, yes, but I am familiar with it.
Okay. Sometimes it was referred to as Ethan's Law, but it's probably Ethan's bill is probably more appropriate since it didn't go anywhere. It didn't get out of committee on committees. So if a resolution honoring Ethan and what he went through and what he overcame could pass so easily in the Senate, and I know it's just a resolution, do you think a bill similar to HB 57 could, if it went through the House, could pass in the Senate?
I think it's possible. I'd have to pull up the bill, look at the language, and understand what the concerns are.
Right.
And you know, the legislation, animal rights legislation in Kentucky is behind the national norm. In part, I think it's because we haven't had real strong advocates, but in part, I think it's because of the rural population. The state views and sees animals differently. So, you know, bills that really apply to domesticated animals could move further and faster in the state, I think.
Right. So, looking at the support for HB 57, it had Republicans, Democrats, and again, I know I'm asking you about something that was in the House, but what do you think, if it's not really an issue divided on partisanship, where do you think the divide is in animal welfare in Kentucky? Is it by region? Is that what it is?
You know, sir, you're asking the questions that I'm not sure that I know enough of the answer to give you, you know, an absolute answer.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding is that it is a bit of an urban-rural divide.
Right.
And you know, honestly, you know, this last session was a short session. We had a budget to deal with. A lot of really good bills didn't go forward. but we have another session in a year.
Right.
So the ones, you know, that people are willing to sponsor and work for, now is the time to be doing that work. It's not during session. By the time you get to session, these decisions, a lot of them have already been made.
Right. I've heard from, you know, asking around, trying to get as much information as I can gather, that some of the divides seem to be, and maybe it's by region, but that some people, constituents, may consider domesticated animals, cats and dogs, property. And so sort of sometimes it gets to the point of...
I just pulled up 1857. It is definitely domesticated animals. It doesn't... Yeah.
And so, again, from a lay person standpoint, I can listen to, you know, someone talk about or give me an argument about your domesticated animal, in this particular case, cats and dogs, as your own property. It just seems to me that everyone would probably be able to distinguish the difference between a car and a cat and dog. Like, it wouldn't be against the law for me to go out and take a baseball bat to my car, but then I would think everyone would think it would be against the law to go out and take a baseball bat to a cat or a dog.
Right.
And so I guess it brings me to another question. What can the general public do? I mean, on a statewide, is it more education? Is it more money? I hear, and even the Kentucky Humane Society put out on their Facebook post, and some other people shared it and put it out, if you supported this bill, then call in. Does that work when people call in?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It definitely works. What we get is something called the green slip. Every time somebody calls and leaves a message, they print it up for you, that you know who it is, you know whether they're in your district, and you know how they care about this. And that type of public interest definitely makes a difference. Definitely makes a difference, yeah. I mean, I can tell you, looking at what happened to this bill in the session, I'm not sure who chairs committee on committee in the House side, but they just didn't bring it forward, that's it. And why, I can't tell you. And it would not be a hard bill to bring forward, and it should not be a hard bill to pass. It's very simple.
Right, yeah, as I look at it, and I haven't looked at a lot of, you know, some of the bills that come through Kentucky legislature, but the thing is 2 pages long. There's not a lot to it. It was just trying to get the intentional neglect, intentional abuse of an animal as a felony. And I don't mind, you don't obviously have to make any comment. I don't expect you to. But as I look at the makeup of the committees, it looks like David Osborne, Representative David Osborne, is the chair of the committee on committees. And he was also a sponsor of HB 57,
right.
Which, again, looking at it from the outside, I would think... You would think that would have a good chance of moving forward. So, something else going on. I'm not asking you, you know, what you think that is, but there's something else going on. Hopefully, in the meantime, we can try to figure that out and
right.
make phone calls.
Right.
Honestly,
you know, I'd be happy for next session to introduce a similar bill in the Senate.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Not that, you know, I have much chance of my bills going forward, because I am in a significant minority, but something like this that everybody agrees on, and I know for a fact that there's people in the majority in the Senate who agree with me on this, because of some of the bills I've seen that they've put out there.
Right.
So, you know, there's hope. There's hope. It goes slowly, but there is hope.
Right.
There's hope.
I hope so. You know, I think, I don't know, just me personally kind of looking at it, I see, you know, there's a difference between animal welfare, animal rights, and hopefully, you know, in the future, there'll be enough support, and the bill will be worded in just the right way, that it will, you know, will garner a lot of support. HB 57, as I heard, again, I'm just going to get into it, to have 47 co-sponsors for that type of kind of legislation was really amazing in the state of Kentucky. So there was a lot of hope, from animal welfare and people who love their pets, that would go through. So it was a little disappointing, but all we can do is keep pushing forward. In the meantime, between now and next session, you say now is when we really need to do the work. What can we do as constituents in districts? What can we do to show our support and try and move that along?
Wow. I wish you'd give me just a little time to think, because there's a lot of avenues.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I understand.
One thing that you can do is first of all, you can write your legislators. You can email your legislators. You can write opinion pieces to your local papers saying that this is an important public policy issue and you want your elected representatives to pay attention to it. You can also actually work to elect people that you know are going to care about this, or actively work to not elect people that you know have not paid attention to it.
Right.
So you can actually change the shape and the face of who brings these bills forward and for what reasons and when by whom you elect.
Right.
So, and not all of this takes money. A lot of this just takes groundwork. It takes, people in local areas throughout the state, and I'm not just talking about in the urban areas, throughout the state, saying this is an issue that will shape who we vote for and who we support, and then make that actually feel like it's real, and you'll get people to pay attention to you.
Right. I think that's important for people to remember. Sometimes it gets said that maybe the strongest power is voting people in or out, that support what you do, and in a lot of cases that is actually the reality. So,
it doesn't start the moment that you walk into that voting poll and decide who you're voting for. It actually starts by getting the candidates that you think are going to care about what you care about elected in the first place. It's not that hard to do.
Right.
I did it. I mean, it takes a little bit of work. It takes knocking doors. It takes, answering phone calls. But it is very doable. The other thing, sir, that you can, we know this to be true, that there is a very large mental health component of this.
Mm-hmm.
People who torture animals also tend to hurt other people. And so this is protective for all of us. It's not just protecting the animals themselves.
Right. Yeah, I think it's important to remember, and then advocate, find out the candidates in your area that support what you want, and then advocate for that and try to get the word out to everyone else in your district that's what they support, and that's who you need to vote for if you believe in that.
Not just, people think the act of voting is an active, and it is an active process. You have to go in there and you have to choose between the choices. Making those choices, deciding who you're choosing between, supporting the people that you care about from the beginning, makes a huge difference.
Right. Right. I totally agree with that. Before we go, I don't want to take up a lot of your time. We do have a mutual friend in Dr. Emily Bewley, I believe.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I love Emily.
Oh, she is the best.
I'm so proud of her. I mean, I see her on the news. I read articles about her. I am so proud of that woman.
She does amazing work. And if you saw her at her job, you would be even more proud of the stuff that she does. She's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. That's really all I've got. I really appreciate your time, Senator Byrd. Thank you very much.
I hope it helped. And honestly, if you have specific questions, not while we're being recorded and not while we're doing podcasts and all that stuff, reach out to me.
Okay.
This type of legislation can pass. In a normal session, I think there's a chance it could have come up.
Right.
This was not a normal session, but that doesn't mean we don't have another one right around the corner.
Right. Right. Well, thank you for your time. Thank you for serving the Commonwealth of Kentucky. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for what you do.
Oh, thank you.
All right. I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Well, it's a long, long journey to the capital city. It's a long, long week while I'm sitting in committee.
I just want to thank Senator Karen Berg once again for joining me and answering some questions for the Ethan Almighty family. As you can see, it's complicated, it's confusing, and a lot of times it just doesn't make any sense. To have so much support from so many House representatives and not even get out of the first committee is just not right. If almost half of the House is co-sponsoring a bill, it deserves to be heard and it deserves to be voted on. But we are not done. I'm asking more questions. I've emailed more state legislators. I would like to know why this bill failed so it can help us move a bill forward that will pass. So we will revisit this issue many times, hopefully. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please subscribe to the Ethan Almighty Podcast and give us a 5-star rating. The rating really helps the podcast get heard by a much wider audience. A couple of announcements. The past week has been a pretty busy one. There's a lot going on in the Ethan Almighty world. He's in a Bush Chief Tasting Officer competition online. There's Ethan Almighty gear coming. The website is coming. And as I said earlier, a few other fun collaborations to announce soon. Thank you to the Ethan Almighty family. You guys are the absolute best. Ethan has inspired and brought joy to so many people in this world. And you guys are paying it back tenfold. As I said before, I want to keep Ethan out there front and center for his family to enjoy and learn about his continued life. I've learned from all of you all just how far and wide his light really does shine. So thank you very much. As this podcast moves forward, I'm going to bring on some people whose own lives have been changed by Ethan because I believe their story can inspire others. We're not going to pay it forward. We're going to say it forward. Your story, your journey may have been inspired by Ethan, but I promise you, your story can and will inspire others. So we're going to say it forward. So thanks again for listening, and please follow Ethan on Instagram and Facebook @ Ethan Almighty. Until next time, please do something kind for someone today.